Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. Today I'm going to be joined by my lovely wife, Donna, and we're going to bring to you a message. We're going to share from our hearts. We're going to talk about the election. We have a few days left till the election takes place, and right now the only way to describe the present election is chaos, cumbersome, grievous, frustrating, anger-causing, dividing, civil war, battle royal. Folks, this election is the octagon in America, and it is bringing a lot of division between Christians, between well-meaning Americans, between patriotic Americans, between family members. This thing's ugly, and Donna and I are going to share with you a few things about this election. We're going to share from our hearts some things that I've observed. And as I do share some of these things, there may be a number of you, depending on your background or where you come from, that are going to be offended with what you hear. But ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of Watchman's Cry is not to win the popularity ratings contest. My job is to represent truth, to bring truth, and also to rightly divide the word of truth and to compare the way that we are behaving to the Bible. The Bible is the yardstick. The Bible's non-negotiable. The Bible has the final say. The Bible is the plumb line. It is our standard. It's the rock by which we stand. It's the banner that is above us. The Bible's everything. And if you are a part of the precious, valuable, bought with a price, remnant of Jesus, you will appreciate what I have to say. I'm going to place some challenging thoughts on the table. I'm going to bring some thought-provoking concepts to the table, and some of them will not be easy to listen to or receive or consider. But ladies and gentlemen, what I'm bringing right here has been birthed out of prayer, seeking the truth, pleading with God for the truth, asking Him for the truth, asking Him to open my eyes. Now, am I infallible? No. I'm a man just like half of the audience out there. But because I know I'm a man and I'm a human, I know that I cannot rely on the fleshly part of Nathan. I have to resort to what the Bible says. So I'm going to present verses. We're going to include scriptures to back up what we're going to say. And I also am going to present some possibilities on the table for you to think about and for you to pray about. The reason and the purpose for this program is to present the final thoughts before the election takes place. There's a few of you out there that are still on the fence. You don't know what to do. A lot of you have written me and stated that. You have said you don't know what to do. A lot of you have heard that this is the most important election in the history of America because everything is at stake. So therefore, you see that a decision has to be made. You have to make a decision for either voting for Donald Trump or a third party or writing in somebody. Now, what are the choices that a lot of you are facing? Some of you have decided you're not going to vote at all, because you just can't make yourself do it. There would be a crisis of conscience if you were to go to the ballot box and vote for any of the candidates. So you've decided you're not going to do it. There are others of you that want to take part because you feel that you're obligated to show your vote. So you're wondering, you're wrestling with who to vote for. And then there's others of you that have voted for Trump. You're not sure about it, but you did it because you can't stand Hillary. You're concerned about Hillary. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of evangelicals are voting for Donald Trump because Donna, she is a diabolical. I mean, we can fill up a whole page, can't we? There's a whole list of reasons that we would not pick Hillary.
Benghazi,
Libya, she's for abortion. She's the other side. She's the stereotypical progressive Democratic candidate that most Christians have found to be
repugnant.
Yes. So there's no question about Hillary.
No.
She's evil.
I don't see how anyone who is a Christian could vote for Hillary.
By the way, Donna, say hi to the audience.
Hello, everyone.
Donna, it's good to have you again. By popular demand, the listeners out there like you. They like that you join me on these programs because you bring a point of view from the female, Christian, virtuous woman point of view. And I threw that one in because you are a virtuous woman and you take care of me and you feed our family. And
thank you.
So, yes, I rise and call you blessed. So I am very blessed to have you. But in this final lap, I don't know, is it one more lap or one and a half laps? We just have a little over a week, week and a half before the election. Now, there are some listeners out there, people who have written and said, Nathan, why haven't you endorsed Donald Trump already? Why haven't you? What is your problem? Do you love Hillary? If you don't endorse Donald Trump, then you are this, 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 and this. There are people that want to know why I haven't. If some of you are wondering, why am I so behind in the game? Don't I get it? Don't I understand that it's very simple? See, Donna, in some people's eyes, it's simple. It's either you pick Hillary the witch or Donald Trump who will try. You pick Hillary the witch or Donald Trump who's going to give us those justices on the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. What's the question? What's your problem? Why can't you just say, okay? Others are saying take Hillary the witch or we will have a reprieve from doom. It'll be slowed down. He's the obvious choice. See, some people see it that way. It's cut and dry.
Then they should vote for Donald, I guess. They don't need our permission.
Some of them already have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, I understand that for some of you, that's where you are, and that's fine. That is okay. I am not going to condemn you or judge you. That is your business. It's your private business. I have friends, personal friends, who have told me that they've already voted for Donald Trump, and that's fine. I have some friends that have microphones who are out there, they're public figures, and they have told me they voted for Donald Trump, and that's fine. God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not going to condemn and throw rocks if someone wants to vote for Donald Trump. Now, if someone votes for Hillary, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Now, if I had to make a judgment call, though, Donna, if you had to make a judgment call on, hey, they voted for Hillary, there's a lot of things that you would say, I'm sure, mm-hmm. but we're not going to go into that.
Right.
But they wouldn't be pleasant, right?
No.
Really?
Because I could never vote for somebody who is pro-abortion. That, to me, that is a dividing line in the sand.
So we don't endorse that at all.
Right.
But as far as Donald Trump, so what we have left in the thinking process of a lot of people who are regular listeners to this program, Donna, they wonder, Nathan, where are you? What are you thinking? And I want the listeners to know where we're coming from. And there's some things that I'm going to share. And ladies and gentlemen, if some of you are still undecided, but you want to make a decision, you're not sure, you're leaning a certain direction, some of you are leaning that you're going to vote for Trump, some of you aren't sure, some of you are afraid to, some of you are wondering if you should sit it out, some of you are wondering if you should go third party, and some of you are wondering if you should write in somebody, a different name.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say this, whatever your situation is out there, that is your vote. I'm not going to tell you that if you don't vote for Donald Trump and instead you go third party or write in somebody or you sit it out, you're to be condemned. Shame on you. I'm not going to say that to you. You know why? Because it's your vote. You have to do what God tells you to do. You have a conscience. You have a spirit. The Holy Ghost speaks to you. And I trust, Donna, that the remnant believers out there can hear the voice of God. They know God's voice. And I also trust that a lot of our listeners out there are wise. They're students of the scriptures. They're students of the end times. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know where I stand. Where I stand and where Donna stands, where we stand here at Watchman's Cry is the big picture. Donna, we have stated since our very beginning that we are here to talk about the end times. We're here to warn and to prepare for the end times. It has never wavered from that.
No, it has not.
The end times are the big picture. And if we are remnant believers, if we're remnant Christians, ladies and gentlemen, my remnant brethren who are out there, if you are a remnant believer, we have no choice about this. We must maintain our perspective in the big picture of the end times. This election will play a role in the end times. Donna, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. The Bible talks about the beast and how it rises out of the ocean. It has to be formed somehow. So yes, government plays a role in the end times.
Okay, so if we are end time remnant believers, then national events are going to play a role in the end times.
Yes, they are.
There's no pause, is there?
No, not that I found.
Okay, well, some Christians are saying, and I'll give that to them. Maybe they're right, Donna, but they're saying maybe Donald Trump can give us a pause, a reprieve, and slow down the New World Order. Some of them are saying that.
Yes, some of them are saying that, and a lot of them are saying that based on the new Apostolic Reformation belief that we're going to usher in Jesus by how we take over the seven mountains.
Okay, that's some of the people. That's their reason for wanting Donald Trump is because he will bring glory in their eyes. There's another segment of those who are supporting Donald Trump that are saying that if Donald Trump gets into office, he will give us appointments. And let's place that on the table. If we are open to the truth, Donna, and we're willing to examine the truth, then we must validate that's a possibility.
Yes, it is possible that he will appoint judges that we will approve of.
Okay, so let's place that on the table. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to present to you my thought process, and I'm going to show and try to illustrate my thought process about this election encompasses months and months and months of thought. So I can't do it all in just one program. So I'm going to try to give you Cliff Notes versions of my thought process. In my thought process of whether or not I should vote for Trump, because some of you are wondering, why haven't I done it yet? My thought process has to find truth and evidence of truth. So the possibility of Donald Trump doing what he says he's going to do is valid. So let's place that on the table, Donna. Let's place that possibility that if he gets in there, he's going to appoint those five Supreme Court guys. Right now, we just need one, Scalia.
Right. Rumor is we will need five.
And the reason for that is because the other ones are 79 and some are in their 80s. Can all of them make it well into their 80s? Because there's three or four already in their 80s on it or close to it. So the reasoning is that they will either be dying or retiring. That's the logic. As far as Donald Trump, on the table, we must place that he will appoint the justices. Also, he would defend the Second Amendment. Let's give him that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
So Hillary, we know, doesn't want to defend the Second Amendment. However, he has said that I'm going to defend the Second Amendment. But if we were to actually examine Donald Trump's words on how he interprets that, we may come back a little bit confused because Donald Trump has also said anyone on the terrorist list, on the no-fly list, on the watch list, cannot have a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
He said that in the debates.
Yeah, he did say that.
We finally need to pass a prohibition on anyone who's on the terrorist watch list from being able to buy a gun in our country. If you're too dangerous to fly, you are too dangerous to buy a gun.
First of all, I agree, and a lot of people, even within my own party, want to give certain rights to people on watch lists and no-fly lists. I agree with you. When a person is on a watch list or a no-fly list, and I have the endorsement of the NRA, which I'm very proud of, these are very, very good people, and they are protecting the Second Amendment. But I think we have to look very strongly at no-fly lists and watch lists, and when people are on there, even if they shouldn't be on there, we'll help them. We'll help them legally. We'll help them get off. But I tend to agree with that quite strongly.
So let's place that on the table, ladies and gentlemen. If some of you have heard the NRA has endorsed Donald Trump because he's going to defend the Second Amendment, we must also place on there, yes, he did say that. However, what is his interpretation of defending it? And what limits does Donald Trump include in his statement of protecting it? If you're on the watch list, Donna.
Priests have been put on the watch list. Nuns have been put on the watch list.
The recourse, once a person's placed on there, is very difficult.
You actually need to find an attorney to help you get off.
Now, he stated in the debate that we'll come up with some measures where people can try to get off it if it's done wrong.
But so what happened? Okay, this is what I picture in that scenario. So you're on the list. They find out you own guns. They come into your house. They ransacked your home, take away all your guns and weapons. And then you get off the list. How do you get your guns and weapons back? Are they just going to hand everything back to you?
A good question.
And they had to storm your home, just so
right,
you know.
Right. So on the table we have, he's going to defend the Supreme Court. He's going to help that. And the Second Amendment. However, that one has some eyebrow-raising conditions on what he has included. So it's not cut and dry that, hey, the Second Amendment's going to be safe because the back door behind the scenes, you know, the New World Order is tricky. Progressives are tricky. Liberals are tricky. And the anti-gun element out there is very tricky and crafty.
Yes, it is.
And they could come in through the back door, even if Donald Trump was the president.
Well, like they've done with veterans, right?
If they are not fit mentally, constant things are being added.
Yes.
To eliminate gun ownership. Mm-hmm. Post-traumatic stress is one that they threw in there, and there's no recourse on that.
No, if you're found to be taking antidepressants and you're, I believe that they can confiscate your weapons then too.
That one is not...
It's not cut and dry.
It's not cut and dry for what Donald Trump has presented. There are still some holes in what he said. And during the debate, Hillary said the no-fly list was what she was going to go by, and Donald agreed with her. So actually, they're even on that one.
I think she wants more control.
Well, I don't trust her. I know she wants to take guns away. But
I think all candidates say that.
If the listeners were to ask me, Nathan, what are your problems with Donald Trump? This is valid. When he made the statement of the no-fly list, that says a lot. It's not just about guns. Now we're talking about the rights of citizens who are accused of being on a list without due process, considered guilty, found guilty, found to be suspects without due process, and for Donald Trump to endorse the no-fly list. You see, I don't believe Ron Paul endorsed the no-fly list.
The no-fly list should not be endorsed by any politician. It's the way you need to be found guilty to be put on a no-fly list.
So ladies and gentlemen, as I present this information, please try to listen to it from a scholarly level of facts. Because when I have these qualms or questions about choosing Donald Trump, I've done a lot of research and I have hundreds of papers that I have read. I've seen hundreds of speeches. I have listened to many, many speeches of things he has said. And Donna, that's the other thing. The only thing we have to go by when choosing a candidate is their platform, what they have on their website, and their speeches. Then you start looking into maybe their character. Can we trust them? I've done all this with Donald Trump.
Nathan makes me sit with him and listen to every Donald Trump speech and take notes. So just an FYI, here's something that I'm concerned about along with the Second Amendment thing is the stop and frisk is supposedly to take guns away from people who shouldn't have guns, but the officers do not know if that person has done anything wrong. They do not know if that person had... They're searching somebody who may actually have a concealed carry permit and searching for a gun on their person. To me, that's not pro-Second Amendment. That seems to be against the Second Amendment because not every person in the inner city carries a gun without a permit.
Okay, that's valid, the stop and frisk. And we will, if we have more time, we'll get to some of the concerning statements that we have heard. Because, see, ladies and gentlemen, the argument that I continually hear from some of the individuals who are pro-Donald Trump have stated to us that their reason is because of what he's going to do for the Supreme Court, and he's going to stop Roe v. Wade. That is their main logic. And if Roe v. Wade wasn't on the table, would they still choose him? Well, the next reason is because they can't stand Hillary, and if Hillary wins, she's going to do a lot of things that we already know she wants to do. We know who she's surrounded by. George Soros, Zbigniew Brzezinski, she hates Russia, World War III. We know all that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Globalism, immigration, the Muslim invasion. We know Hillary wants all those things. Some of the people who are voting for Trump are not voting because they see that he's a great candidate. They just don't want Hillary. It's a protest vote against Hillary.
And some people, they're looking at issues. They're looking at the Supreme Court. They're looking at immigration. And they're looking at... the Second Amendment. And those are all very valid.
It's valid. And Trump says what we want to hear.
Yes.
So on the table, I'm giving those who support Trump, I'm validating, I'm placing this on there, Donna, to show that I am not just a rabid hater and I have Donald Trump's photograph on the wall and I throw darts at it. Because some people seem to, I don't know how that happens, but they come away when they hear my articles or my critique as being somehow revealing that I am just a hater of Donald Trump. And I do not hate Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't hate him. In fact, I'm sure he's a likable guy. He seems funny. I'm sure he tells funny jokes. I'm sure he would be an enjoyable person to have over for dinner, and it would be interesting for sure. It would be something to tell your friends about and write in your memoirs about. So I don't hate Donald Trump, Donna. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to say that I trust him all the way, though, because I don't, but I don't hate him.
Mm-hmm. No, we should pray for him for sure.
And we should pray for him. Now, some people have also written and said, Nathan, what if he is good soil? What if he is at the beginning of a great change? What if he's going to find God in office and become a crusader for God, for the church, for righteousness, for Christianity? Yeah. Okay. Let's put that on the table as a possibility.
Okay.
All right? That's something that we would hope for. But we have no proof that that's going to happen.
Yes. Right.
We have zero proof. Because, mm-hmm. see, we could say the same thing about any candidate. Mm-hmm. We could say that.
About Hillary.
Could Hillary get saved? No, yep. no. I mean, or is she perfectly possessed and it could never, she's beyond
salvation.
Well, some
people are sure that she's perfect. I've been told that we shouldn't pray for Hillary. I don't understand that, but I have actually been told that.
Because she's not worthy of prayers, right? Jesus yeah. died for everybody except...
Except Hillary, yeah. But, you know, we can pray for either candidate to get salvation. Salvation has come to some people who were pretty rotten before they got saved. I mean, look at Paul.
That's true. So the argument of that Donald could become a crusader for Jesus, that one, while it's valid, we don't know if it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So to vote for Donald and say that it's going to happen, but we don't know. But it could happen.
But it's not part of his platform or his issues that he's running on. So
right. And you know, if I'm presenting the positive validations first, Donna. Mm-hmm. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be placing some concerning reasons also on the table in a moment, because I'm going to place everything on the table to show you why I'm struggling. Now, if the concerns that I have about Donald Trump did not exist, if some of the research I have done on his background did not exist, if we didn't have 30 years of his record and it didn't exist, then Donald Trump, the candidate, and the possibility of him becoming a Christian is valid. And I wouldn't have a problem with it. And I would probably have already endorsed him by now. I probably would have if all that other stuff didn't exist that I'm going to share. If his background on it, his record,
right.
all the stuff we know, I would have already endorsed him. But the reason that I have not yet is because it does exist. We do have it. We do have a record, and I'm going to share it. But in fairness, Donna, we have to place it on the table. He could get saved. So let's do that.
Okay.
So the positives for Donald Trump on why someone could endorse him is he could possibly become a crusader, get saved, God get a hold of him. It would be great, right? Okay, that's one thing. And then he would appoint those judges.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. And then maybe fight for the Second Amendment, but we're not sure. So we have those three things.
And I don't know if this can be put on the table because both candidates are saying they're going to redo Obamacare. You know, I hear Trump say he's going to repeal it, but he says... and then replace it with something else. So really, they're both saying the same thing. They're going to redo Obamacare.
And he also cited Canada's?
Yes. At one time, he cited Canada's health, single-payer health care, which is what Hillary has been pushing for since Bill was in office. Single-payer system, which is exactly what President Clinton wanted.
You will have the finest health care plan there is. She wants to go to a single-payer plan, which would be a disaster. But she wants to go to single payer, which means the government basically rules everything.
What's your plan for Obamacare?
Obamacare is going to be repealed and replaced. Obamacare is a disaster. If you look at what's going on with premiums, where they're up 45, 50, 55%.
So how do you fix it?
There's many different ways, by the way. Everybody's got to be covered. This is an un-Republican thing for me to say, because a lot of times they say, no, no, the lower 25%, they can't afford private. But
universal health care.
I am going to take care of everybody. I don't care if it costs me votes or not. Everybody's going to be taken care of much better than they're taken care of now.
The uninsured person?
Right.
Is going to be taken care of.
They're going to be taken care of.
How?
I would make a deal with existing hospitals to take care of people. And you know what? This is probably...
Make a deal. Who pays for it?
The government's going to pay for...
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes, Donald Trump has said he's going to get rid of Obamacare, but he's going to replace it with another socialized medicine. Hillary has been saying she wants a socialized medicine like Canada. So they're both equal on that. So Donna, truth is the truth.
On the table is they're both going to restructure it in some way.
Healthcare
mm-hmm.
is the same. And the gun thing with the no-fly list is the same.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same. So let's be respecters of the truth here. It is the same as far as those two things. Now, if we're remnant Christians, are we, Donna?
Yes.
Are you a remnant believer and follower of Jesus?
Yes, I am.
We hope that we meet his approval. We want to hear well done, so we're trying.
Yes.
We understand it's an effort because
some days it's really hard. I admit it.
It's a daily thing. Mm-hmm. I die daily, right?
Yes.
All right. If we are remnant believers who are living in the year 2016 in America and we're facing an election and we are wondering if we should take part in the election and vote for Donald Trump, we have to include the clock, the time line that we're in. Mm-hmm. We have to include the eternal clock of man, the age that we live in, the dispensation that we live in, if we're Christians, because God's up there. He exists. Mm-hmm. He's on his journey right now, and when he comes back, he's going to gather us.
Yes.
So we want him to find us with faith. You know, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I want him to find faith in me, Donna, and in you. Yes. I want him to find faith in our listeners, in the remnant. Ladies and gentlemen.
Help us with our unbelief.
Yes. In the struggles that you're in, he wants to find faith in you, in your heart. So we have to include that in this decision of the election. We cannot bypass the clock. Folks, you can't bypass the clock or the word. We can't do it. And we can't bypass and reduce Christianity, our relationship with Jesus, into an Americanized version of Christianity. And patriotism and the red, white, and blue, while it is good, while we live here and it's fun when we wave, you know, the balloons and the flags, that's fun, but that cannot pull rank on our Christianity and our relationship with God and on the clock and on what time it is. We can't forget it. By the way, Donna, I have noticed that this election has shown, and ladies and gentlemen, think about this. This election has shown and is showing all of you out there. If you're a listener to this program and your culture, you're a part of the Watchman culture, where you get online and hear the voices and those behind the microphones and you're listening to them, this election is showing every one of you where our hearts are. It is showing you where my heart is. It is showing you where the hearts are of the others out there, Donna. It's proven it.
Yeah,
because
it is.
The topics and the things that we are saying, and it's showing the things that we are vehemently passionate about. It's revealing it right this very moment. It shows where our struggles are. It shows where we're placing our faith. It shows what we trust in. It shows what we believe in. Right now, it proves it, Donna.
Yes.
And right now, I am not sold on Donald Trump. I'm struggling with him as a candidate, and so is Donna, because I know what time it is, and I know that the Bible tells us in the last days. Donna, Jesus said when he was on earth, he said, Beware of
the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod.
Of Herod. Who's Herod?
Herod was the king.
He was the guy.
The politician. Their president, so to speak.
What did he say? Believe everything he said?
No, it said beware. Beware.
And did he say beware of their words?
Their leaven.
Not even words. He called it
leaven, which is equal to sin.
Contamination.
Yeah.
The offering. The
dirtying of the waters.
Of Herod.
Mm-hmm.
That translates to every king and politician from the time Jesus said it to the end of time.
Yes.
So ladies and gentlemen, I, Nathan Leal, say this to you, but I say it as a brother in Christ who believes the words of Jesus. Beware of the leaven of Herod. So that means we have two candidates. Donna, beware of the leaven of Hillary.
And the leaven of Trump.
So swallow it and don't ask questions?
I think we're supposed to always ask questions. How can we consider the whole of the matter if we're not asking questions?
Okay, well, our colleagues are putting the listeners out there on guilt trips, and they're saying, if you don't vote for Trump, you are this, this, and this. They're not saying beware of the leaven of Trump. They're not warning the people to be wise and vigilant. They're just saying do it.
Because I say so.
Because I say so, which bypasses the warning from Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't listen to me. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus said, beware of the leaven from the politicians.
And our listeners have the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit and they have wisdom and they have their Bibles.
So they don't need me.
They don't need us to bully them or guilt them or shame them. Because if you're a remnant Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, you have discernment, you have wisdom, and you have a Bible.
Now, Donna, when you're on social media, what sort of condemnation are you hearing from the brethren? To the brethren about you need to, you must.
If I don't, I'm gullible. If I don't, I'm apostate. If I don't, I'm self-righteous.
If you don't,
want to vote for Trump. I'm a hypocrite. I'm an idiot. I've been an idiot. I'm pathetic. Boy, the list just goes on, and it becomes very personal. And, you know, my goal in this whole election is to stick with the issues if I'm discussing it, because I enjoy discussing issues. That's my personality. I really do. But when the name calling starts, I find myself frustrated. So my goal is just to pull back and stop and say, God bless you. It's difficult to do. I know it is. But also, if somebody tells me, well, you know, be that as it may, I'm voting for Trump, I say, I respect your decision to vote for Donald Trump. It is your vote. That's my mental take on the whole scenario.
All right. Now, Donna, I'm trying to present my thoughts in a fair manner because unfairness mm-hmm. is to not rightly divide the truth. We have to divide the truth in two portions, the pro and the against, the things that I'm concerned about and things that I'm okay with. They have to be done righteously. And to decide on Donald Trump, for the listeners out there that are struggling, I believe that a lot of them are struggling because some of them are seeing the things that I'm noticing and that you're noticing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to confirm what I'm saying right here, I'm not just making this up as far as being vigilant. Don, I understand that we're going to get some letters and people are going to say, but that's not the point, Nathan. It's either Trump or Hillary and that's it. That's how they're looking at it?
I don't think that way. I am a critical thinker. I'm very analytical in my thinking, and you are too. We've raised our children to be critical and analytical in their thinking so that when we look at anything, even if it seems the only choice, we are always going to look at it in every way that we can. We're going to break it up and flip it around in our hands and look at the other side as if it were a Rubik's Cube, and maybe we can figure out the puzzle.
Okay, and you're giving the natural description of your thought process, and that's true, Donna. You are a very analytical person. You could have been a detective or a CSI person. You like to investigate. I do too. But the Bible backs this up. The Bible says, examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. And the Bible also says that we should examine the entire matter before we answer it.
Exactly.
Otherwise, a fool does the opposite. They just answer before they know the matter. You know, people say this is the most important election of our lifetime, and it is. So this matter must be examined, and we can't just answer based on one radio program saying, if you don't do this, then you're this. Ladies and gentlemen, you must examine it from your heart. And if I can contribute a few things for you to think about, they can help you in your decision as you pray, then praise God. But it has to be your decision, and it cannot be done quickly. You have, by the time you're listening to this, about a week and a half to continue in your examination for you to decide. But that's our purpose. The Bible warns us to be discerning. When we look at American history, the thing that's amazing about this election, I don't understand how a lot of the constituents out there that are pro-Trump say that they are witnessing what's going on with Trump. Those that are Christians.
Yes.
The people that are awake, some of the ones who know, they're students of history. How can they witness what's going on with Trump and not have questions about it? I'm talking about the fervor. Because when we look at the worship of Obama during his campaign in 2008.
I remember it. It was sickening.
It was weird, right? Women fainting and crying. And all of the radio people in the alternative media, Alex Jones made fun of it. He talked about it. He said, this is weird. They're worshiping Obama. He holds the people under a spell. We heard that from all of our colleagues.
Yes, I remember that.
And then the same thing happened 4 years later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're watching the same thing happen with Trump. The same type of fervor. And for me,
I find it off-putting.
It's odd. It's weird. It's concerning.
It's beyond politics. It just seems odd to me. I can't even put it in a context that would make it normal.
Some of the listeners who are out there who are Trump supporters who have been to some of the rallies, they may take issue with what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not talking about excitement at a rally only. I'm not limiting it to that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the fervor and the passion mixed in with the free pass to bypass vigilance. Now, if we go back in history, then I researched, there's a comment that was made and it was attributed to several of our forefathers. They said Thomas Jefferson said it. And when I tried to find the source of it, it was given to another writer and I don't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very popular statement. And any well-meaning oath keeper out there or patriot understands the statement and they believe it. And the statement says, eternal vigilance is the cost of liberty or the price of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal vigilance.
Yes.
If we want to maintain our liberty, we can never stop our
vigilance. Yes.
Vigilance. And what is vigilance? Vigilance is to be discerning, to ask questions, to examine the matter.
To be judging.
To be judging, to be critiquing, to look at their hearts, to examine their words, their motives, their intent. You see, some people are throwing rocks at you and they say you shouldn't be judging Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is going to lead the free world if he wins.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to examine him.
To the best of our ability, with the wisdom that God has instilled in us through study of his word, it is our job to judge righteously whether this man will be a good leader.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it is not wrong to ask questions about Trump and to be disturbed about Trump, because we don't want... Now, what does the statement say, Donna? Eternal vigilance is the cost of liberty. So if we're not vigilant, liberty dies. And how does liberty die? Liberty dies when we place into office, into the control of the government, someone that doesn't believe in liberty.
Mm-hmm.
So we better make sure he passes the liberty test, the respect of liberty. We have to make sure that what we hear coming from Donald Trump's lips reaffirm that he respects the Constitution, that he understands checks and balances, that he understands that our government relies on the three branches. I want to hear from Donald Trump statements that prove to us that he's going to support it, he's not going to step on it, and he's not going to do things that will make others raise their eyebrows and say, Mr. Trump, no, you can't do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying that because now I'm going to segue into why I'm concerned about Donald Trump. Now, Don and I are talking about eternal vigilance right now. As far as Hillary goes, the verdict has been decided that Hillary doesn't respect the Constitution. She would like
to create a socialist country.
So there's no argument there. So Hillary fails.
Yes,
let's
she
just
fails
agree on
this
that.
Test completely.
Right. Now, when we get to Donald Trump, let me ask you this, Donna. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes, let me ask you, those of you that are paying attention, that find this interesting, that find this valid, let me ask you, if Hillary as the candidate were to say at one of her rallies in the last few days that we should just cancel the election and appoint her as the president, what would Republicans think? What would Christians think? What would the evangelical community think? What would the Oath Keepers and those who respect the Constitution think? What would the media think if they heard her saying that?
That she was calling for a coup where there is no election and she just moves into office. That isn't the definition of that, a coup? Where you stop the election and you just take over. There's a military coup, but I think you can have a political one too. So I think that people would be holding her over a barrel for saying that.
Would it be all over the press?
Yes, it would be. It would be a very big deal.
Okay.
There would be memes all over Facebook.
Okay, let me play something for you that happened at a rally on October the 27th. Donald Trump said this. Here we go. Listen to this.
Hillary Clinton wants to raise taxes on small businesses up to 45%. What a difference. You know, what a difference this is. And just thinking to myself right now, we should just cancel the election and just give it to Trump, right? What are we even having it for? What are we having it for?
Okay, Donna, we just heard not only Trump saying some things, but, you know, the crowd was cheering.
And just thinking to myself right now, we should just cancel the election and just give it to Trump, right? What are we even having it for? What are we having it for?
Donna, the crowd was cheering. You know, the concerns that I have. Trump is making a case and validating the uncomfortable feelings that I have. He's validating my concerns.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of a line by Natalie Portman in a Star Wars movie. I think it was Revenge of the Sith, where she says, "This is how liberty dies," with thunderous applause.
You're exactly right, Donna. People cheer when, you know, the Fuhrer got a lot of thunderous applause.
He did.
In all his speeches. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say some things right here. If you're a Christian, if you consider yourself a member of the body of Christ, if you value the Bible, if the Word of God is important to you, if you're a follower of Jesus, and I know I'm giving a long list, but if you're a Christian, all these things apply to you. You're a part of the brethren. Truth matters. We should examine everything carefully. We should be vigilant always, because Satan, the roaring lion, is out there. By the way, that's an admonition about vigilance that's found in the Bible. The forefathers told us to be vigilant if we wanted to maintain our liberty. So vigilance means when a candidate or a politician says something, it is okay to raise your hand in the back of the room and say, "Excuse me, what?" You know, some people may say that he's kidding. Nathan, it was just all in fun. It was just to make the audience cheer.
I don't know, but I do know that if we add up all the odd and strange things that have been said throughout this election process, we're getting a very telling, uncomfortable picture.
That's why I'm struggling. You see, Donna, there are some days we're getting close and I say, "I wish you would give me a reason. Okay, I'm going to just take my chance on you." And then he does this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe yesterday also there was a black gentleman who had a letter. This is what the report said.
Mm-hmm.
had a letter on a piece of paper, and he said, Mr. Trump, I'm a supporter of you. I'm going to vote for you, but can you please do this, 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 and this? He had some suggestions, and he walked to the stage, and he waved the paper in the air, and Donald Trump said, take that thug out of here. He was probably paid $1,500, and then get him out of here, get him out, and they took the guy out. But he just wanted to give Trump a letter of some suggestions, kind of like my letter. And I believe the letter said, because he said after the fact when they interviewed him, the letter had a challenge to make some comments for the blacks.
To racist. Reach out to the black voters.
Yeah, to reach out to them. But as Trump called him a thug and then accused him of being hired by Hillary. And then as he was being drug out, he started talking about the WikiLeaks are hiring people. And see, that's true. But this kind of spontaneous, without judgment, activity that Trump does where he just reacts.
Without proof.
He reacts without pause, without having the facts, without looking at the matter. That's concerning to me because a true statesman has to have a filter that would benefit them when they're engaged with potential rivals. Donald Trump doesn't have that ability, or he hasn't shown that he does. And that's concerning to me. And for the people that would write and say, Nathan, we need someone that's bold and brash and tough and all this. Yes, that's a quality. Boldness is a good quality from a statesman, but also so is a measured tone. So is a deliberate tone. So is an inner filter. So is the ability to be statesmanlike and to be diplomatic.
Yes.
There are things that Donald Trump says, and I don't want to use the program to cite every one of them, but those are some of the, oh man. Donald Trump stated in an interview that he will renegotiate our debt for pennies on the dollar. The United States debt. He said that, Donna. He's also on record saying that we have resources that we can sell off to our debt holders, to China, the 17, 18.
I'm not on board with that.
Our national resources, our forests, our the minerals underground, the oil. Trump said that we could pay off our debtors with resources. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to include a link to several of these things that I'm sharing. I'm not making this up, folks. If Hillary were to have said that she will divide up our resources with the debt holders, with China, Donna, they would have the torches and pitchforks.
Yes. Yes, because we all know that some of our resources have already been sold off.
I remember Rush Limbaugh yelling about it during the Clinton era.
Things some of were our national parks are now
heritage
world
sites. Okay, if Hillary did it, it would be bad. There would be flames. The citizens would be angry. If Hillary said that to just appoint her as the president without an election, cancel the election, it would not go well. But Donald Trump has stated some things, and that's what I was getting at. When people worship Obama and didn't question his words, we saw it as disturbing, and we wondered, hey, is Obama the Antichrist?
We did. He was going to have his youth brigade, which never came to fruition.
But we were worried that he would be Hitler.
Yes.
He would be a tyrant. He would be the Fuhrer. And it was valid to have those concerns.
Yes.
Okay, now here we have Donald Trump doing some things that are very disturbing, and I'm not hearing a peep. Where are the voices that were crying out about this during the Obama election? Now we have the Watchman cartel, and they're all on board. Why are they not questioning it? What happened?
I think some of the reasons why they don't question it is all this comparison to Trump as our biblical heroes, like Elijah, Cyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, Samson, David, Moses, Jehu, even Spartacus.
Yeah, that's a new one. He's Spartacus.
Trump is Trump. He is not like any of these people.
But who did Jesus say to beware of?
The leaven of the Pharisees and Herod, political figures.
So who could Trump also be like?
He could be like Herod.
And what did Herod do?
Herod killed all the babies under the age of two. And then he allowed Jesus to be hung on the cross. He was the governing power at the time for the Jewish people.
All those names on there sound good, but the sound bites that I hear from Trump when he says, appoint me as leader, as the winner, do not sound like the people on your thing right there.
No.
When I hear Trump say things, it sounds like a Herod to me, a Fuhrer, a dictator, someone that doesn't appreciate, or a Pharaoh. Let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen. Let's place it on the table. You know, there's a lot of names that people call Trump. I say, and I'm concerned that he's going to turn out to be the end time Herod. The church was birthed with Herod, and the church could also see its end, the age of the Gentiles, with a Herod slash villain of the end times. Now let's talk about that, Donna. Let's talk about the end time concerns that I have. Because when fellow preachers, evangelicals, even the evangelical committee You know those advisors that Trump had that should be advising? I don't know if they are. I don't know what they're doing. I'm sure some of them are well-intentioned. Maybe some of them are intimidated. They don't know their place. They don't even,
or
no one called them.
Or maybe they're trying. We don't know.
We don't know. But those people are wrapped up in the political sphere of right now. And I don't know how many of them are placing into the equation, is Trump, and asking the question, is Trump an end-time figure that was prophesied? I want to bring that up right now, Donna. I want to present one of the big reasons that I'm concerned. Because over the years, every 4 years when we have an election, as Christians, it gets placed on the table by a lot of Christians. Let's go back to Daddy Bush. I remember people were wondering if he was the end-time guy. Could he be the Antichrist? Well, no way. Nathan, those are fighting words. He's a Republican. That can't happen. And the Antichrist, by the way, is Gorbachev. Remember that one?
Yeah, he had the thing on his head. People said that's...
Over the years, we have heard from Christians who have speculated on who the villain of the end times is. And we have heard that it was Prince Charles.
Prince Charles.
And now he's getting old, so maybe it's his son. Or Gorbachev. Mm-hmm. Or Putin now. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, people have thrown the Bushes in there. Daddy Bush, W. Yes. Christians had a hard time entertaining if it could be a Republican, because a Republican could not be the end time villain. Mm-hmm. But Clinton was wondered about. I remember that. And then Obama. Obama was easy for a lot of people. They wondered if he's the end time villain, right? Or at least the blazer of the trail for the end time villain, the Antichrist. But there was speculation that Obama could be the Antichrist.
And I would say he's a type of an Antichrist.
He's the type.
He's anti-God.
I'm talking about, Donna, and when I say the Antichrist, I'm talking about the guy in Daniel that we can read prophecies about.
Right.
The little horn. We can read how he is. He's boisterous.
He's narcissistic. Doesn't regard women.
Or the God of his fathers. He's
He prizes gold and silver. He doesn't bow to God. He wants to be God. And I'm paraphrasing.
But we do know that the villain that we've all wondered about, mm-hmm. there's been movies, Damien, The Omen, and he's always this guy with horns and obvious.
Yeah.
Let's think about that. There is this idea that when the devil shows up and tempts people, he always shows up with horns and a tail.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Bible say that? Mm-hmm. No, he disguises himself.
As an angel of light.
He takes on a persona that is very tricky. So the end time villain, is he going to show up as an obvious guy with horns? You know, when Obama became president, I wondered about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, the election hasn't happened yet. He could still be. We've gotten emails from several who say that.
That Obama could stay in office, yeah.
And, of course, it could happen.
Mm-hmm. We have another 9/11. That could happen.
That could happen. So let's place on the table, he could. Is Obama the Antichrist, though, Donna? Do we know for sure? No.
No, we don't know.
But he's a possibility. He's a prospect. So I don't want to eliminate it. In fairness of righteous judgment, he could be. He's a candidate for it. But his time's running out. He has 2 weeks. Of course, if Trump won and then Obama, because he's the Antichrist, tried to say, well, you don't get inaugurated, and then has some crazy event happen, we'll deal with that then.
Yes.
But it looks like he's going to be leaving.
It does.
So if it's not Obama and he leaves office, and if Trump wins, as students of Bible prophecy, as students of the end time, as remnant believers, we have to ask the question. And why is that, Donna? Why do we have to wonder and be looking through the spiritual goggles? Because Jesus told us to. Now, Donna, does Jesus want us to be asleep when he comes back, or does he want us to be watching?
No, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober.
Let us not sleep as others? It says that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Donna, he says regarding the sleeping, you know when Jesus was in the garden before he was arrested?
Yeah.
He was praying. In Mark 14, and if you have your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, you can write this down. And in Mark 14, he said they came to a place, verse 32, called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Stay here and watch. Now, you know, the Bible has a lot of layers, Donna. We talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple applications to things going on. Jesus was about to be arrested and mistreated and then killed. In the end times, the church is going to be mistreated, arrested, taken prisoner, taken captive, and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Before that happens during the end times, the Christians who are going to be arrested should be praying. If they knew what was about to happen to them, they would be sorrowful, just like Jesus was. And they should be watching, because Jesus says, stay here and watch. Mm-hmm. Verse 35, he went a little further, fell on the ground, prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Take this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but your will. Then he came and found them sleeping. At the moment of crisis, at the moment before the greatest event in the history of humanity, his death, they were asleep.
Yeah.
But see, we read that and we understand in the natural world, they were tired. Their eyes were heavy from sorrow. It says that in the next verse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Donna, in verse 37, he talks to Peter and he said, Peter, are you sleeping? Could you not watch? So the opposite of watching is sleeping. There's no in between. You're either watching, paying attention, or you're asleep.
Right.
And that's what happened to Peter. So let's bring this forward to our time. We're in the end times. At some point, the church is going to start getting persecuted and killed. Some of the listeners out there will live to see persecution and Christians killed.
Yes.
Right now, I am watching because I don't want to be asleep. Now, if it's Bible prophecy, if Trump is the prophetic bad guy and it has to happen, I'm not going to stop it. But...
And he will become president.
He will become president. But can you imagine... Let me put it in layman's terms, Donna. Can you imagine if we look forward several years and the city's burning mm-hmm. and the Christians are in the stocks rounded up and the cattle cars and Trump's the president? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine looking back and said, wow, I voted for the Antichrist?
No, I can't really. That would be painful.
Right about now, there may be a collective gasp from mm-hmm. some of the listeners who are now typing hate mail because they're saying, Nathan, are you serious?
We are serious that anyone who is a political leader in this world that is powerful could be the little horn. We don't really know.
Well, because see, some of the listeners out there who love Trump, some of them believed it, Donna. Some of them were wondering if Obama was the guy in 08.
Yes.
And then in 2012. Some of you, ladies and gentlemen, wondered if the Antichrist was Obama. You did. Now, I understand that there's a theology and some of the speculation may be sidestepped or overrun with the argument that states, well, okay, even though we wonder if it's Obama, the Antichrist can't come from America because he has to be the Assyrian, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, I heard that.
You know, the Bible actually defends and supports the theory that the Antichrist is going to come from Babylon. Because in Jeremiah 50 and 51, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar. It calls the Antichrist Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
And then it says Nebuchadnezzar will be used to sift the saints,
right.
To thresh the saints. So Nebuchadnezzar is a code word for the end time villain. And Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament interchanges with the Assyrian. We've talked about this. I actually did a program on this several years ago that showed that the Assyrian and Nebuchadnezzar are the same. It's metaphorical. So Nebuchadnezzar does come from Mystery Babylon,
mm-hmm.
which, if it is America, means the Antichrist will come from America.
America, right.
Because we can look at Daniel 11. At the end of Daniel 11, it talks about all the exploits of the Antichrist. And at the very end of Daniel 11, it says, disturbing news will come from the east, which shows that he's from the west and from the north. Disturbing news will come from the east and the north, meaning Armageddon's about to happen. Russia and China are coming.
Well, and even mentions the South.
It does mention the South,
yeah.
Which implies that he's from the West. Now, the Middle East is part of the East.
Right.
So if the Antichrist was from the East, Middle East,
then
you know, in Iraq right now.
Attack him.
Exactly. So if he was from the Middle East, Saudi Arabia or Iran, etc., any of those ISIS countries, if he was from there, it wouldn't imply that he would hear disturbing news from the East because he's not part of the East.
Well,
in other words,
am I wrong? Is the West not actually mentioned?
The West is left out. So his vantage point, when it's describing the exploits of this end time villain, they show and point to and imply that he is seated in the West. Now, folks, you can read this for yourself.
That's interesting.
We can read that in, let me just go to it down at Daniel chapter 11, 44. But news from the East and the North shall trouble him, and therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. I don't want to digress too much, but the villain is from the West. The villain also is in Mystery Babylon, and he's called Nebuchadnezzar. So
maybe that's the one name that people were calling him that was true.
Oh, wow. Donna.
That was on the list. That's frightening, huh?
Donna, people call him the Assyrian and Nebuchadnezzar both.
Yeah, that's
okay,
interesting.
Now, in Jeremiah 50, look at this.
Okay.
Verse 17, Israel is like scattered sheep. Jeremiah 50 and 51 is about America being Babylon. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've studied this.
Israel is like scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria devoured him, Israel. Now, at last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. Now, if America is Babylon, and Jeremiah 50 is about Babylon, mm-hmm. it says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken Israel's bones. So, in the end times, Babylon's going to come against Israel. So, yes. If the United States is Babylon, we're going to turn our back on Israel.
That's what it says.
Right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, right here in verse 17, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. So, it caused, if America is
yes.
Babylon,
yes.
right now it caused Nebuchadnezzar. So, mm-hmm. the next verse, look at this, 18. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land. So, again, that's reinforced twice, two witnesses. Mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon, America,
right.
as I have punished the king of Assyria. So, in other words, it's putting Nebuchadnezzar and the Assyrian king in the same verse,
mm-hmm.
showing that the Assyrian and Nebuchadnezzar are the same.
Right. They're a picture of the same.
Now, we could spend a lot of time on this, but I'm just showing Nebuchadnezzar is the end-time Babylonian mm-hmm. American leader. So,
interesting.
Donna, what did you just say?
It's interesting that on the list of biblical people that
are being prophesied about over Donald Trump.
That are being prophesied as being the spirit of Donald Trump, Nebuchadnezzar is in that list.
People have called him Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
In the end times, whoever Nebuchadnezzar is going to be the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar is the Antichrist.
That's what we're reading.
So I have concerns about Donald Trump because
we have concerns about anyone who could possibly be the leader of the free world.
Now, if some of the listeners are taking issue with this, the Bible tells us to watch and pray. And he said to Peter, Peter, don't sleep, instead watch. So, Donna, it appears that for some reason, the excitement for Donald Trump being the savior because he's going to do this SCOTUS thing
mm-hmm.
is bypassing staying awake and watching. You see, it would be one thing if the voices that are out there, you know, the Watchmen universe, and I'm sure they do mean well.
Yes.
Are they including, hey, folks, Donald Trump is going to do this, by the way, but be careful. Be a little bit vigilant. Are they doing that? Are they including that as a footnote?
Not in anything I've heard.
A little clause. I choose Donald Trump, but let it be your choice just in case he's the Antichrist, the villain.
Well, I think that a lot of people are not even willing to entertain somebody who's running on a conservative platform could possibly be the bad guy.
Why not?
Because we have in America, at least, anyone who calls himself a Republican must, just by the name, be a servant of Jesus Christ, which is not true.
They're safe.
Yes, that they're safe.
They're valid. Nothing to fear, nothing to see. It's all good.
But we know that the Republican Party is not a Christian party. It is just a political party.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to reiterate this because I know that there's a lot of passionate thoughts out there. And first and foremost, if you are a Christian, that means that you are a follower of Jesus and politics takes a back seat to that. It needs to. And it also means that at some point, we're all going to die and stand before God. It also means that at some point, Jesus is going to come back. All the prophecy that we have been looking for at some point is going to happen. The cast of characters that we can read in the Bible at some point will appear on the world stage and begin fulfilling what the prophets have written about. One of the biggest characters since the church was birthed is the Antichrist, the villain. So in the American election, the concern over his prophetic placement in the timeline cannot take a back seat to this election. Now, Donna, I'm observing the continual statement from a lot of people saying Donald Trump's going to pause. He's going to slow down.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. Yes.
The globalist, the New World Order, he's an outsider. He's all these things that are going to stop and put away the concerns. But I am not hearing a lot of people say, but what if he's actually the guy
mm-hmm.
to bring about all these things?
Right. People are not talking about that.
And that's inconsistent. Jesus said, watch. Mm-hmm. We're watching from the wall. And I don't like what I see coming. We have observed. We ask the questions. Who's this guy? Is he safe? That is what watching is. That's vigilance. Mm-hmm. And for the people to be inconsistent and all of a sudden stop watching and say, he's safe? How do they know that? Those of you that are out there, if you have a blog, if you have a radio show, if you're a Christian pastor, those, is that a...
Hopefully you're a Christian.
If you're a pastor, actually it's true, right? Donna,
some pastors may not actually be Christian.
Right?
Yeah.
If you are a servant of God, a messenger of God, are you wondering yourself, my brother up there? Are you asking that question in fairness to the Bible and what time it is? Are you including that in your admonitions to those that God has entrusted you with, to the flock out there, to the children of Jesus who depend on your advice? Are you including that in the narrative right now of this election? Because I'm not hearing that. Donna, all I'm hearing is Trump is going to save us. Trump is going to stop Hillary. Trump is the doorstop. Trump is this. But I have to include this. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to say it. He could be the Nebuchadnezzar that has been prophesied that is going to make our life miserable if we're in that timeline. Nathan, come on. Seriously? Donna, I have statement after statement after statement that Donald Trump has made, and I've shared some of it, that step on the Constitution. He wants to kill terrorists and their families and their children. Mm-hmm. You know, a patriotic guy would say, what's wrong with that, Nathan? ISIS is bad and they deserve it. See, when you look at how liberty is killed, there's always a reason that sounds good, but then it extends further. So Donald Trump said that he wants to kill terrorists, and on paper that sounds good, Donna, but who gets labeled a terrorist?
Who the government decides is a terrorist?
Who the neighbor called in the 800 number and said was a terrorist? Your neighbor that didn't like you because he didn't like your flowers or your kid looked at him wrong? Who is a terrorist? Mm-hmm. You know, if you see something, say something. So we are a nation of rules and law. Mm-hmm. He said he's going to be the law and order president. See, law and order means what's on the books, right? But yeah. Then he makes statements that go against the laws in the books. Like, we need to bring back waterboarding. Well, that's against the Geneva Convention. And I believe he said that was an inconvenience, the Geneva Convention.
See, the problem is, you know, we have the Geneva Convention. We have all sorts of rules and regulations. The soldiers are afraid to fight. They don't want to go to jail because they're killing the enemy. They were too tough. So we have all sorts of really restrictions and regulations.
Just yesterday, almost 100 foreign policy experts signed on to an open letter refusing to support you, saying your embracing expansive use of torture is inexcusable. General Michael Hayden, former CIA director, NSA director, and other experts have said that when you ask the U.S. military to carry out some of your campaign promises, specifically targeting terrorist families and also the use of interrogation methods more extreme than waterboarding, the military will refuse because they've been trained to turn down and refuse illegal orders. So what would you do as commander-in-chief if the U.S. military refused to carry out those orders?
They won't refuse. They're not going to refuse me, believe me.
But they're illegal.
Let me just tell you. This really started with Ted. A question was asked of Ted last two debates ago about waterboarding. And Ted was, you know, having a hard time with that question, to be totally honest with you. They then came to me. What do you think of waterboarding? I said, it's fine. And if we want to go stronger, I'd go stronger, too. We should go for waterboarding, and we should go tougher than waterboarding.
But targeting terrorist families?
And I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I've always been a leader. I've never had any problem leading people. If I say do it, they're going to do it.
I don't understand how Oath Keepers and patriots who are supporting Donald Trump hear that kind of rhetoric and are not disturbed. When he said, just cancel the election. Now, if I were to just list all of them, over and over, the things that go against the Constitution, we have a picture forming of someone who doesn't respect the Constitution, doesn't respect the freedoms that we hold dear. He stated in one of his rallies that he's just going to use executive orders to do whatever he wants because Obama did it. Mm-hmm. Well, Nathan, don't you understand? That was just truthful hyperbole. It was just sound bites that sounded good to get everyone clapping.
And see, that bothers me. That bothers me greatly that people say, oh, he was just joking. He didn't really mean that. Okay, how many things can he say that he's joking and he doesn't mean, and you're defending that, but when do we know the truth is coming out of his mouth? Does he have to explain to us? This is the truth now. Now I'm speaking truthful hyperbole. How do you know? Let your yay be yay and your no be no.
Okay, and since we have too many samples of, how do I say this, Donna, of Donald Trump's struggle with telling the truth. We have recordings. He struggles with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He exaggerates.
Yes.
You know, I've seen some of the rallies that he had where he had 4,000 people show up. And then that night when he was talking to one of the networks,
mm-hmm.
he doubled the number. We had 8,000. When 4,000 showed up, he said we had 8,000. Then it grew again on Twitter. It went up to 11 or 12,000. He has a problem with exaggeration.
And that has been consistent throughout. The man who wrote his book said he did that, The Art of the Deal. The man who wrote that said from the very get-go, that's one of the things he noticed about Donald Trump. He always fudges the numbers to his favor.
Okay, so if he has a problem telling the truth, and the reason that Christians and his supporters are following him is because of the promise for the Supreme Court person,
mm-hmm.
that's one promise. But how do we know he's going to keep that promise?
And that is one of the problems I have.
And that's a problem I have. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm sharing the concerns that I have. Let me give you an example to prove why. If some of you say, no, Nathan, he said he's going to do it, so he's going to do it. Okay, but let me present something for you to think about. When Donald Trump was running in the primary, he had his platform on his website. And the platform included the things he was going to do when he became president. And he listed them. He listed the tax plan. He listed what he was going to do with immigration. All he was going to stop immigration from Muslim countries, period. If you're a Muslim, you can't come in. He was going to start his immigration force to gather up.
To go door to door in Hispanic neighborhoods and bring them out.
The force, his roundup force. He was going to do that, and he was going to build the wall, and Mexico was going to pay for it. He had these things listed. Well, then he won the primary. Since he has won the primary, now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know this or if you're excusing it, I think it qualifies as a concern because the tax plan that he had on his website has changed by 5% for the middle class, the lower class, and the higher class. The taxes went up 5% across the board, Donna. He raised it up because the numbers didn't work. So his tax plan that he preached and advertised at the primary, when all those people clapped, he said, I'm going to do this for taxes. Vote for me. So they voted for him. He said, my tax plan. And then he did the debates with Rubio and Kasich and Cruz and all those guys.
And condemned their tax plans.
He condemned their tax plan. Since then, he adjusted his numbers, and his numbers are now closer to Rubio's and to Cruz's. Mm-hmm. They're the same.
Yeah.
Gravy train's going to end pretty soon for a lot of people, okay?
Donald Trump telling America he and his rich friends are ready to pay more taxes. Asked about his plan on ABC's This Week Sunday, Trump saying, I am willing to pay more. And you know what? The wealthy are willing to pay more. That coming as a shift from the top to bottom tax cut he proposed last fall. David Lauder is on the story.
Well, he said that his original tax plan was sort of like an opening offer, that this is something that's going to be subject to negotiations, presumably with Congress, you know, once he gets into office, and that there would be changes to it as it goes along. He's making a pivot here from the primaries, where he's competing against Republicans, to the general election, where he's got to appeal to a much broader base of voters, including a lot of those middle-class voters that have been economically challenged.
Higher taxes for the rich, yet another repudiation of GOP gospel.
So he changed it. He also changed the policy that he said he was going to do with Muslims. If you're a Muslim, you can't come in. And then it changed to, well, we'll vet them. And then it changed to, well, there'll be a questionnaire.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Donald Trump started his presidential campaign with a warning that undocumented immigrants were bringing mayhem, crime, and drugs to the United States.
I want to build a wall, and it's a real wall. This is a wall that's a heck of a lot higher than the ceiling you're looking at.
He even said that if necessary, he would use a deportation force.
There will be a deportation, but it's going to be done in a very humane fashion.
Last December, Mr. Trump also shook the political world with another provocative policy.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
A new week and a new tone for Donald Trump's team, seeming to soften his stance supporting a so-called deportation force to remove the estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants in the U.S. Will Trump actually use that force?
To be determined.
It's changed several times.
Yes, which is how politicians generally are. Yes, that's true.
Well, but that's a promise that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm building my case to rebut the absolute assurance that some people are basing their vote on Trump because he's going to do the Supreme Court thing. But that's a campaign problem. How do we know he's going to do it? I don't believe he's going to do it, Donna. If he does do it, praise God, I'll repent. But I'm basing this. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit, and beware of the leaven of Herod. Okay, beware of the leaven of Trump. So if he changed the tax plan already, and he's not even the president, and he changed his immigration plan on the Muslims, and he's not even the president. Oh, and now the wall, he said it's going to be built. At first, Mexico's going to pay for it, and then the Mexican president said, no, I'm not. So now it got changed to, we'll send them the bill.
Fully funds the construction of a wall on our southern border. Don't worry about it. Remember, I said Mexico's paying for the wall. With the full understanding that the country of Mexico will be reimbursing the United States for the full cost of such a wall. We'll be reimbursing the United States, reimbursing.
We'll pay for it, but then we'll send Mexico the bill. That's recent. So that's a concern. Now, I know this is a long program, ladies and gentlemen. Let me finish up with some things that I haven't seen anyone talk about, Donna. No one. And I'm going to write an article. I'm going to place it on the website. When I place it out there, some people are going to hate me. I can see it already. They're going to be mad and angry. And I want to say this up front. I don't know if this leads to a verdict at this point. I don't know. Because Trump might even lose the election. And if he loses, well, actually, it won't matter because he could also run in 2020 if he stays healthy. Or he could start his media empire. And we don't know what's going to happen out of it. There's going to be something coming out of it.
It looks like the race is really close at this point.
It does, because of what came out with Hillary, you know, the FBI director. Mm-hmm. But I want to begin, Donna, with a new prophetic dream I had last week. I haven't released this. I'm sharing this for the first time. I don't even know who all the interpretation of the characters are yet, but the Holy Spirit told me that this was a dream from him, and I've asked him for insight, and I'm still seeking him. But I want to share it with you because the election is so close, and I just want to have it out there. Now, in this prophetic dream, I was in the passenger seat of a new white van that had a new motor that was rebuilt. It was a brand new motor, white van, and there was a man driving. When I looked at him, I called him Uncle Fred. Now, we were entering the entrance ramp, and we got on what appeared to be a freeway, two lanes going in one direction. The opposing lane, I couldn't even see it. I don't know where it was. So it was a one-way highway consisting of two lanes. We entered the highway. There were no other vehicles. And the second that we were in the right lane, Uncle Fred floored it all the way down, pedal to the metal. And he said, this is a brand new motor. I want to see how much power this has. So he floored it, and we started going faster and faster. And I said, slow down. I don't know if the motor can take this. It's a brand new motor. And he said, no, it has a lot of power. So he was enjoying the power of this new motor. And he had it floored. And we got up to 100 miles an hour. And he got into the fast lane, Donna. And as we were traveling in the fast lane, I said, Uncle Fred, please slow down. So he got into the left lane, or the fast lane. And he was going 100 miles an hour. And I said, Uncle Fred, please. I was getting nervous. And then he went into the left shoulder. And then he went into the grass, and there was a very large ditch going along the highway down. You know, not a small ditch, but big enough for a vehicle to be in. And he kept on going 100 in the ditch, the left side. And I said, Uncle Fred, please, you're going to kill us. And then I started getting nervous because I was assuming, Donna, that if we stayed in the ditch, at some point there would be an entrance to what a field,
like
into
a culvert.
A culvert, one of those pipes would be in front of us so that traffic could enter it. And I was worried that we were going to hit that pipe, but we didn't. And he kept on going 100, and he just had this grin on his face. He didn't even look at me. He was hypnotized by the power of this vehicle that could go so fast. And I started thinking, we're going to crash and we're going to die. Oh, is my seatbelt on? So I looked down and I saw that my seatbelt wasn't on. And then I looked behind me in the rest of the van, and our children were sitting there, Donna. But not only our children, the van was full of children. So he's carrying children. And I turned back and I said, kids, put on your seatbelts. Guys, right now, everybody, please put on your seatbelt. We might crash. And I was so afraid, Donna, that it's going to be a mess. And then I warned them, and I turned forward, And then I snapped, I buckled my seatbelt because I was getting ready for something. The ditch we were in gradually went away, and then we were on top of a grassy field going along the highway. Mm-hmm. He didn't enter the highway, but I saw up ahead, several hundred yards in front of us, a parking lot appeared. And in this parking lot were cars that were parked, and there was two rows of cars that face in, bumper to bumper. You know, you enter the parking lot, so your bumpers touch. And there was probably 30, 40, 50 cars in this row of parked cars. So there's two rows facing each other in this parking lot. To the left of the cars that were parked was an empty parking lot, and to the right was the empty parking lot. So he could have driven toward the left or toward the right to miss the cars. But then he kept going straight forward toward the parked cars, and I said, oh, man, we're about to hit. We're going to have an impact. He aimed purposely, Donna, where the cars were facing in. Mm-hmm. He aimed so that the van he was driving hit the front fender of the cars on the left and the front fenders of the cars on the right in front of the front tires, mm-hmm. right in the middle. So he got both cars in the front fender. And we were going to plow through the entire row like a bowling ball. And right before we hit, I woke up and I was shivering because I thought I just died. And I said, what in the world was that? And I told you about it that morning. That was last Tuesday, the day after the debate.
Yes, I remember that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I had this prophetic dream. I asked God, I said, God, what in the world does this mean? And I was praying 2 days ago and one evening, and the Holy Spirit said, this is from me. This is going to happen. It's an event that's coming. So if that's the case, Donna, if we dissect it, here we have again another dream of the left and right. Mm-hmm. Vehicles traveling. Remember my Trump land dream?
Yeah.
The semi went to the left and crashed?
Yeah.
Here we have again a van that left the highway, went into the left ditch, and then came out of the ditch and crashed two vehicles that were left and right, but it crashed right down the middle of them. So if we were to break this down, I have to ask, what is the white van with a brand new engine that's powerful, has power? What is that? I can speculate. Is it the White House?
I would speculate that it would be the White House with a new...
Well, new engine?
New engine, new
has
leader.
Has power? Okay, power. And the driver loved the power and he floored it.
Yes.
And I called him Uncle Fred. And, you know, I've looked, who's Uncle Fred? And Donald Trump's dad is Fred.
Yes.
And his grandfather is Fred.
And his brother who passed away is Fred.
The third, right? Mm-hmm. Fred Jr. or Fred the third. Three Freds. Mm-hmm. So why in my prophetic dream, if this represents Donald Trump, did I see him as Uncle Fred? That part I don't understand. I don't know.
Interesting that they start out in the right lane and then keep moving to the left until they're in the ditch.
And they couldn't...
Enjoying the speed.
The power.
And the power. And then getting to the parking lot and the cars are parked head to head. There's a right side and a left side. And Uncle Fred plows right down the middle.
To take out the left and the right.
That is very interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, if Uncle Fred represents Hillary, she's going to take out the left and the right. She's going to love the power, but it also means a crash is coming. A destructive crash is coming. Mm-hmm. Now, if it represents Donald Trump, same thing.
Yeah.
So that didn't help.
Yeah, it didn't help us decide, but it does give us a picture of no matter who's in leadership.
They're going to love the power, and they're going to go to the left. Mm-hmm. Trump will go to the left if he wins. Mm-hmm. So will Hillary. We know she's already on the left.
Yeah.
But they're also going to take out the left and the right down the middle. By the way, Donna, I had time to say, put on your seatbelts.
I'm going to the children. Assume the children are
they're God's people, God's the remnant. People. So the children of God, remnant of God that are out there, we are all children of God. You're a child of God. I want to encourage, put on your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen, because a crash of mighty proportions is coming. Now, in the dream I had, I saw it, that we were traveling fast, Donna, and we had time to put it on, but you couldn't delay too long. Now, I
so
know.
There was a period of enjoying the engine for a little while.
Yes, and he got up to 100.
It's interesting.
That number, I know. He got up to 100. What?
The first 100 days.
If that's what it means, I don't know. Yeah. Inauguration is the 20th of January. Mm-hmm. So January, February, March, April 20th, so May 1st, around May Day is the 100 days. So I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to share this. I know a lot of people are saying if Trump wins, it's going to be great, but this is one of the big concerns that I have. Now, if anyone out there has some thoughts about this, feel free to share Uncle Fred and all of this. I'm going to also present it in word form. But Donna, I want to finish up with some of the weird anomalies that make no sense about Donald Trump. Now, if in 7 days he loses, what I'm saying right here means nothing. But then again, could he run again?
But there will also be Trump TV, so I don't know.
So it could work out that way, right? Yeah. We have been at this long enough to have presented a lot of programs and warnings about the Illuminati, Tavistock. Mm-hmm. Hegel, the doctor, came up with a theory during the days of Freud that you could steer the public if you used a certain method. Mm-hmm. And it came from him, Hegel. And it was the dialectic where you have to get oppositional concept or thing to represent something to be afraid of. And then if you made it scary enough, let's say there was in a field a bunch of cows and you wanted them to run towards you. If you had a mortar shell, you would fire it over the cows and explode the mortar shell on the other side of the cows to get them to run towards you.
And you've stirred them in the direction you want them to go.
Right. So in the Hegelian dialectic, mm-hmm. you come up with something that's scary to make them run toward another direction.
Right. That you want.
To the direction that you want. So you can actually, as a puppet master, steer the chess match by placing an image or a mirage to steer them away because it's so scary. The other term for that is the thesis. That's what Hegel called it, which is a scary thing. Mm-hmm. You present a thesis and the people hate it. They're afraid of it. They abhor it. They don't like it. There's different reactions, but it gets them to not want it. Mm-hmm. So you have to present the thesis and then you show the antithesis or antithesis. That's the remedy. Mm-hmm. So out of those two things, it's the same thing that the Masonics used, Donna, the Illuminati. It's the order out of chaos. Mm-hmm. So you have the thesis and then the antithesis that shows the remedy. You know, the thesis is a scary guy. The antithesis is the hero, the champion. And all the people will run to the champion and the champion will round the people and rally them and corral them toward the desired goal, which is the synthesis.
Mm-hmm. So, which without the original thesis, the antithesis was not appealing.
No.
You were not drawn to the antithesis that they wanted you to be drawn to until they presented the thesis.
Exactly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please try to follow this. You have the presentation, the puppet master. Let's say there's a puppet master, the New World Order, in this case, the Illuminati, globalists, Freemasons. They have to present something so scary that gets people to want a remedy. Now, Americans were sick of war. They wanted to be out of Iraq when Obama was running. I'm gonna bring them home from Afghanistan, remember? Because people are dying. We all remember that, right, folks? Then which scary villain appeared recently, Donna, in the Middle East?
ISIS. It's ISIS, yeah.
ISIS showed up. Mm-hmm. You know, Donald said Hillary created ISIS. It wasn't just Hillary. It was the globalists, the military-industrial complex, the CIA. We know all this. So ISIS is the thesis.
War is appealing because of ISIS.
Right. Now, ISIS went into Syria. The globalists wanted Syria 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Donna, but Americans are weary of war. They're tired of war. But now you have ISIS, and ISIS is in Syria. Mm-hmm. So now we have to go into Syria. Mm-hmm. How many Americans would be against that?
None that I've ever met.
Because ISIS does what?
They kill Christians. They're evil. They steal women and kill babies, and they're vicious.
That's a heroic thing. Go kill ISIS in Syria. But Russia's in Syria. You see, before there was a worry that if we encountered the Russians in Syria, it can fracture and explode into something worse. But ISIS is there now. We have to. Mm-hmm. So Trump is telling us, I'm going to go in there and dismantle ISIS and get rid of them. And yeah, we want him to. Because Hillary won't, and Obama doesn't know how. Obama didn't. What if there's one puppet master, and he says, okay, Obama, just act like you're doing it, but don't, because the next candidate, ISIS needs to survive to the election. We need the candidates to be wanting to go kill ISIS. So here we have Donald Trump saying he's going to kill ISIS, and all the Americans, well, yeah, I'm voting for him, because Hillary won't do it, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Nathan, seriously, do you really think that ISIS was used for the election? Folks, I'm not saying yes or no. These are things I'm wondering about. So I'm placing it on the table, examining.
And it's from the standpoint of understanding that Hegelian dialectic is in play.
The New World Order will use the Hegelian dialectic because, by the way, Donna, I did some research on this. And ladies and gentlemen, you can do the same thing. If you go online and you study it, the Hegelian dialectic, there are terms that they use, the concrete versus the abstract, and those are terms to describe concepts that communicate with listeners in ways that are powerful versus metaphorical. Concrete words are nouns and things that are absolute versus the abstract. Those are concepts that are ideas. Are ideas. Now, most politicians speak with ideas, abstract, but dictators speak with concrete statements. Now, Lenin actually states in the brochures that he used to give out when they did the communist revolution, he trained his soldiers on how to convince the public communism was a good idea. And he said in there that those who use abstract over the concrete will not win. It is a sin to use abstract over concrete. We need to use concrete if we're going to win the revolution and convince the people. And the concrete type words are describing the proletariat, the capitalists, the evil bankers.
Putting specific people.
As the guilty parties.
As the guilty parties.
Instead of ideas, we're going to bring back the...
Instead of saying this policy is bad, they say this person who created that is bad.
They zero in on it. If you listen to Donald Trump's speeches, now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're getting angry and mad and your arms are crossed, please hear me out.
And do the research.
You can do the research yourself. Lenin touted speaking with concrete terms over abstract. If you listen to Donald Trump's speeches during the primary and in the rally, I heard some talking heads try to dissect his speech, Donna.
Yes.
They didn't get it, Donna, because they didn't. I saw some people trying to dissect and they said he speaks on the fourth grade level. He makes it so simple. But Donald Trump does something interesting. He will flip his sentences. He'll flip the clauses. He'll end the sentences with nouns. Like, I'm going to provide jobs. I am the answer. Hillary is evil. And if you listen to the way he speaks, he would present the thesis, the bad thing, the enemy. And then he would present the antithesis, the remedy. His sentences stack and they offset each other like a ladder back and forth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can do the research yourself and listen to the way Donald Trump speaks. He speaks with the Hegelian dialectic. It sounds very unique. It's very convincing, but that's what he's doing.
Which we haven't had in American politics in as far back as I can remember. We have not had that.
Not someone that speaks like him, no.
No.
He uses the concrete. You know, people say he's a demagogue. He's scaring people. But if you were to dissect his speech pattern with the Hegelian dialectic, he shows the problem and the solution. The problem and the solution, back and forth. Mm-hmm. And he will exaggerate the problem. He will exaggerate.
He puts tremendous and huge, and he loves to describe things with those words.
And he'll exaggerate the facts. He'll stretch the numbers. He'll change the numbers. He'll say things that aren't true. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that have listened to his speeches and you find yourself thinking after you listen to him, wow, what is it about him? I don't know. He's able to galvanize the crowd and get them cheering. What is his secret? Because he doesn't sound like an orator. He doesn't sound like, it's not poetic. It's not Churchill, Donna.
Is that something that Tavistock teaches?
Thank you for bringing it up.
I'm just curious.
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with Tavistock, Tavistock is the organization, the globalists, the Illuminati. The Jesuits are behind it too, Donna.
Yeah, and it's created to change the way entire populations think on any topic that they want to steer us towards or away from.
It's the think tank to steer and corral society, the West, and they have an office, by the way, it's in England?
In England, yes.
But the American counterpart is the RAND Corporation, but Tavistock does have their own satellite locations here in the United States. Now, I don't want to go into a long description of Tavistock. We can do that on another program. But ladies and gentlemen, this is a fact. And because I'm sharing this with you, I've looked at it, and I haven't heard any of my colleagues bring it up. But it is disturbing. And this is what it is. Tavistock steered every war that we've gone into. They were there. The Korean War, Vietnam War, the Iraq War. They know how to steer
public opinion.
Public
they are
opinion.
Able to control the masses to get what they want.
There are politicians that are a part of this thing that have been groomed. They are masterful at this.
Masters of propaganda.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the satellite office for Tavistock is Wharton School of Business. I'll just let that sink in for a moment, Donna. Wharton School of Business is Tavistock. The people who attend Wharton learn the methods of the Hegelian dialectic, and also Tavistock has some laboratories at Wharton, mm-hmm. and the professors, from time to time, I'm sure, are doing ongoing studies, mm-hmm. experiments. They take in students that they groom. Donald Trump graduated from Wharton in 1968-69, Wharton School of Business.
Yes.
Donald Trump attended a Tavistock college, ladies and gentlemen. So let that sink in for a moment. Before he went there, he attended Fordham University.
Mm-hmm.
Fordham University is a Jesuit school,
right.
The Jesuits. Now, before this election happened, if we went back 1 year, every one of my colleagues would have no problem speaking about Tavistock, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the New World Order, the globalists, how they're all working together to steer and groom, and they have their men who get placed in political office to bring us to the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they would have any problem
saying that that's what happens.
Sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
But now here we have Donald Trump, who has been trained by the Jesuits and a university that's a Tavistock satellite office. That raises questions, Donna. And we have Donald Trump, who speaks in the Hegelian dialectic.
Which is a speciality.
It's a skill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that Trump, I don't have the proof, okay? I don't have the proof, ladies and gentlemen, that Trump went into the lab and that fringe guy was in there. You know, Walter, the fringe guy, Donna,
yeah.
was in the Tavistock.
Putting the electrodes in his head.
In his head, and he brought student Donald mm-hmm. Trump into his office and put, you know, a chip in him and made him a Manchurian.
We don't have any proof of
that. I am not saying
that.
I have no proof. I'm just saying that
there are dots.
There are dots to follow. So that's why I have to raise my hand and say, this doesn't match up. And how interesting is it that we have Hillary, the heir apparent, it would seem, mm-hmm. so easy to win. But then at the same time, who could beat Hillary? Who could? Was she put in there? The heir apparent of wickedness is her,
yeah.
right?
Right.
So you place her in there. She's the scary thesis. And, of course, most of the country is terrified of. Even Democrats don't like her.
Right. She's not likable.
So you place somebody else as her opponent who maybe isn't that likable himself. But how do you get people to run to him when he has the record that he has for the last 30 years? How do you get people to accept Donald Trump with open arms? Well, one way is because Hillary's running against him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would they want Donald Trump? Donald Trump is an interesting character. Donald Trump is a master at demolition. He knows construction. He knows how to tear down, destroy.
And he's not afraid to have a business that has to be torn down to the studs and put back together.
He's not. He's gone through bankruptcy 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump is an ideal candidate at construction. He is the ideal candidate who understands debt, who would renegotiate the dollar's debt. He already said he will renegotiate the dollar for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
He said it already. He's already stated that he would do some things that who else could get away with it?
Or who else would even want to do it?
Nathan, you're talking crazy. Maybe. Maybe it is. But, okay, we have Bible prophecy, the possibility there, Donna. And now we have... He was from Wharton. We can't change that.
Right. And he went to a Jesuit college also.
And he went to a Jesuit college. And by the way, his 3 kids have gone to both.
So they've both gone
same
to
places.
A Jesuit and a Tavistock college.
Which, by the way, side note, ladies and gentlemen, if Trump doesn't win, we're going to have Trump TV for 4 years, and then we'll either have Donald Trump running in 2020 or Donald Jr.
Mm-hmm.
running. So the Trumps aren't done.
No.
By the way, the Bible says that the last Trump, does that mean Donald Jr., one of the kids?
You mean Barron?
Barron's 10 right now? I don't know. But I want to bring up another interesting tidbit of information that I haven't heard anyone talk about, Donna, and that has to do with his family crest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Donald
I haven't
Trump.
Heard anyone mention his family crest.
Donald Trump has a family crest that's a part of his logo. It's on the mints that he gives out at his golf courses. It's on his pillows. It's on his airplane. It's embroidered everywhere. It's on their cups. It's in gold leaf. It's everywhere. His family
He's
crest.
Very proud of his family crest.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, please make note, Donald Trump has a family crest that says Trump on it. Donald Trump's family crest has a helmet on the top of it. There are 3 lions in the shield, but at the top there's a helmet, and coming out of the helmet is a white glove sitting on a capital. You know, the top of a column is a square thing.
Mm-hmm.
A white glove is coming out, and in the hands of the glove is...
It's like a spear.
It's in his right hand. It's a spear. And there's a weird cufflink around his entire wrist.
Like a rectangle or a diamond type shape?
It's like a diamond or a rectangle, yeah, but it's tilted.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What does that mean? If you go to, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have images of notes. You can see the notes. I'll have it on my website, watchmanscry.com. Look for the notes. I'm going to have the images there. The IRS just built a brand new building, and outside the IRS office in Virginia, the IRS placed some interesting motifs, and we have two columns, Masonic columns, that are very tall, and on the top of the columns are the Masonic white-gloved hands. They're facing each other, and the white-gloved Masonic columns are outside the IRS building in Virginia. Between the columns is a pyramid. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pictures. Go look at it. Well, the Illuminati white-gloved hand on top of these columns resemble the white-gloved hand coming out of Donald Trump's family crest, and he's holding a spear. Now, what is that spear? For a modern person that doesn't know the occult or the Illuminati, they will say a spear represents just grabbing the world, grabbing the bull by the horns,
but,
success.
But they have actual meaning.
Yeah, they have meanings. But there's also another thing. It goes deeper. The Illuminati and the Masonics say there's something that is in plain sight, and then there's what
the
is
hidden.
The
yeah,
hidden.
What is hidden, yeah.
And what is concealed and what is revealed. And those that know what they mean. But the Spear of Destiny is an item that Hitler was after. He saw it in a museum when he was 15 years old.
Yeah, it's the spear that was used to stab Jesus in the side.
Yes, yes.
And they call that the Spear of Destiny, and they say it's been passed down in secret.
According to legend, according to the folklore of the Spear of Destiny, several of the Caesars, I believe even up to half of the Caesars that were in power back then, all possessed the Spear of Destiny. The legend states that whoever possesses the Spear of Destiny rules the world, Donna.
Okay.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is all, you can see the background of this. Spear of Destiny. Hitler saw the spear in a museum when he was 15 in Austria. When he was looking at it, according to the biography, he had a vision when he was looking at the spear in the case, and he saw himself in the future leading an army.
Wow. Yeah.
So he wanted to possess that thing. So when he came into power, he
took over Austria.
He had it for a while. It was his.
Right.
I don't know where it is right now, the spear, but Donald Trump has a spear in his hand in his family crest.
That's now, interesting.
Does Donald Trump know about the Spear of Destiny? I don't know. These are questions, as you stated, Donna. Dots. Breadcrumbs, a trail of crumbs. I have to place this. Why does Donald Trump have a Masonic glove hand on his family crest? Now, some people may argue and say, Nathan, it's not a white gloved Masonic hand. It's just a white hand. But it's not Illuminati. Some could argue that, Donna.
Yeah, and the eye on the back of the dollar bill isn't an Illuminati symbol either.
Okay, well, watch this. When Donald Trump bought the golf course
in Scotland,
he went there and he started using that family crest that's here in America. Well, in Scotland, there is a rule, a national rule. It's in the books. It's a law that nobody in Scotland can use a family crest that has not been approved by the...
Because they take them very seriously.
Oh, very seriously. They have to have the history. So when Donald Trump went there with a crest, they said, this isn't approved by us. You can't use it. The one with the white hand and the glove. So Trump said, well, what do I do? They said, you have to make a new one. Have a new one made. And Trump said, okay, I'll have a new one made. Several months went by.
The Scottish researchers should do it
right. But Trump worked with them to make the new Trump crest for Scotland. Now watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Watch this, Donna. After it was revealed and presented, Trump's new family crest that the Scottish government approved, the new crest, Donna, on his shield. And I have a picture on the website, ladies and gentlemen. Trump's new Trump seal that he uses now in Europe has on the shield the two-headed Order Out of Chaos phoenix bird on his shield. In fact, take a look at this, Donna. Look at this. I have the pictures right here. You see that? See what the heads are doing?
Two heads are looking away.
Now let's compare Trump's family crest to the cover of Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. It's the same thing.
It is. It's a double-headed phoenix.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to ask, why is the double-headed Illuminati Masonic phoenix on Donald Trump's family crest, coat of arms? Why?
Right.
If some people would say, well, the white gloves, Nathan, you don't know for sure. Well, I know what the phoenix is, Donna, and here it is.
And well, and the hand has the spear, little spear in it, no matter what.
It does. So why? That has to be placed on the table if Donald Trump has in his family crest the order out of chaos symbol, mm-hmm. Now, the New World Order wants to have chaos. They're going to explode the world. We saw in the Olympics, the mm-hmm. Phoenix rising. Mm-hmm. The yeah. Phoenix was going to rise at the 2012 Olympics. Now we have Donald Trump with the Phoenix on his family crest, rising.
Wow.
So they telegraphed and told us the Phoenix was going to rise and we're going to have flames. Donald Trump uses the Hegelian dialectic. He attended a Tavistock school.
And a Jesuit school.
And a Jesuit school. His family crest has what appears to be the Masonic white.
Right.
But there's no way to spin this one.
On their thing, it has the 33-degree triangle at the top and then the double-headed phoenix right there. Has the double-headed phoenix ever been used for anything?
Well, they use it. It's used in heraldry, but why does Donald Trump have it? See, he portrays himself as the football jock, a go-getter salesman, right? A salesman wouldn't know this stuff, would he? Ladies and gentlemen, I am presenting this information to you. We just have a few days left before the election. You decide. But by the way, Donna, at the Alfred Smith dinner after the debate last week, remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Where
that.
They roasted each other and told jokes?
Mm-hmm.
I have images of him behind the scenes when the cameras weren't rolling being chummy to Hillary. I showed you those pictures. Remember
he
that?
Did show
he's
me.
He's
yeah.
hugging her and he's patting her shoulder. Mm-hmm. They seem like they're friends. It doesn't make any sense because
no.
what we're being shown is a vicious election where they hate each other, but they're having dinner. And the cardinal from the dinner stated they got along and they spoke to each other. And Hillary told Donald, she said, after this election, we're going to work together. Or we need to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal Dolan joined us earlier this morning, and we began by asking him if he had fun last night.
When we were going in, I said, could we pray together as we were waiting to be announced? And after the little prayer, Mr. Trump turned to Secretary Clinton and said, you know, you are one tough and talented woman. And he said, this has been a good experience in this whole campaign, as tough as it's been. And she said to him, and Donald, whatever happens, we need to work together afterwards. Now, I thought, this is the evening at its best.
So
it's as if they already know the outcome.
And now with this thing that came out on Hillary, is it going to move the needle toward Donald? I don't know. Hillary could lose and we could still see the Trump factor not go away, because if he starts Trump TV, and it looks like he's going to, we have the 2020 election coming.
Mm-hmm.
We could see Donald Jr. running midterm, you know, for one.
Right, for one term.
Yeah, for one term, and then run for president also. Mm-hmm. We could see that, mm-hmm. another Trump. So the Trumps aren't going away. Ladies and gentlemen, these are all concerns that I have. I'm not saying Donald Trump is the AC, the Antichrist. I'm not saying he's the Fuhrer, but I do have a lot of questions. I do not have comfort about it, and this is... I've known about this for a while, so when people have written and said, Nathan, just endorse him. A lot of people have written, Donna, and they said, Nathan, if you endorsed him, it would help. I don't know if our listening audience is big enough to make a difference like that, but I guess every bit helps. They just want to see support. But this is why we have struggled.
Yeah, I don't know for sure that we would make a huge difference if we supported him, but we can't go against our conscience and say, yeah, 100%, we back him.
Wouldn't it be so much easier if it was Pence running?
Yeah, I could back Pence. I know he has issues and he's not perfect, but I do see Jesus in him. I see it in his eyes and his gentleness and his sincerity. I really see it, Jesus
yeah.
in him.
But then you've told me that you want to go third party, Daryl Castle, or...
Well, I've been going third party for over 15 years. I started registering as a Constitution Party member because of their wonderful platform on abortion. I mean, if you want a party that's against abortion from the get-go to the very end, no matter what, it's the Constitution Party. And for me, that's why I chose them.
So the choice is, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, you can vote for Donald and pray and hope for the best, or you could write in somebody. I think I saw a few governors say that they were going to write in Pence. How does that work if he's the vice president? Hey, Pence got more votes than Donald did, but we know he yeah. won't. But someone has suggested that, and then there's... third party or sitting it out. But ladies and gentlemen, you have your vote. You're a citizen. You live your life. And don't let anybody try to put you on a guilt trip that if you don't vote for Trump, it's this, this, or this. No, it's not. If you don't vote for Trump and you were led by God, then stick to it and be free.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have peace, then don't. Some people have written and said, we're not supposed to even vote at all as Christians because we're not of this world. If that's
who
you
are, that's your conviction.
Then don't. But no matter what you do, do it in the fear of God, do it because God is leading you to do it. And just leave it at that, folks. There's a lot of confusion. And after the election, then we're going to have the aftermath. We're going to have the when the dust settles and all the signs are taken out of the yards and the balloons are all popped. Then we're going to have to face, Donna, the bad behavior that Christians did. Are people going to come back hand in hand? Or is there a lot of hurt now? Did people do things they shouldn't have? Did they say things that they shouldn't have? A lot of questions.
Yeah.
But we're not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Our message has been consistent, and it is the same. We're in the end times. The hour is late. We're under judgment, and we have to get our seatbelts buckled.
Yeah, get our own houses in order.
You have anything to add, Donna?
The days are short, and we need to, you know, keep our focus on Jesus. This election will go away, and eventually this whole world will pass away. Our loved ones and our family, those are the ones we should be fighting for.
Their souls.
Their souls.
Not fighting for the next governor and congressman and senator, fighting over that and for that. We should be fighting for the souls of men. The souls of men, ladies and gentlemen, the souls of your loved ones, your spouse, standing in the gap for them. That's our business, and that is our homework. With that, I'm going to end. I know that this was a long program. Please share this with everybody that you know. Share it, folks. Share this. Just let them know that here is a viewpoint that maybe they've never heard, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people haven't heard this. If you appreciate what we're doing, with your help, we will continue bringing these messages. We'll continue sharing the gospel, and we'll continue bringing the truth. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. If you have any thoughts on some of the stuff that I shared, including that dream about Uncle Fred, let us know. You can write us, go to our website, and there's a contact link there. If you want prayer, you can also write us. But folks, we have just a few more days, so stay safe, put on your seatbelts, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.